Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7, we read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." And then in James chapter 1, verse 27, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." We need to think about blessing others in the storms. God is in the process of making us one with each other, binding our lives together. When we go through difficulty, we can either grow further apart or closer together. The tragedy is that many people grow further apart. God has called us to draw closer to one another when times are tough. Within the body of Christ, when one member suffers, it is the responsibility of the other members to come alongside and provide comfort and encouragement. The word that Paul uses for comfort is not a word we would associate with a pillow. It is a word that has to do with one who comes alongside us to help us on the journey. It is the encouragement provided by a companion, the Holy Spirit of our risen Lord, who gives strong support, strength in the midst of weakness. This is the kind of comfort Paul is speaking of. This is how God comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble. We don't have to have endured the exact same problem as someone else in order to come alongside them, to empathize and commiserate. The goal is not to share with a hurting person how much greater our problems are. We want to come alongside them and say, "I'm so sorry that you're going through this. Thank you for letting me know what's happening. I want you to know that I want to be here for you. Please, let me know what I can do to help." Often those simple words of comfort are the greatest aid we can give. In fact, sometimes the silent presence of one who realizes they don't know what to say is the most comforting. But we need to pray and look for other ways to help as well. God will bring into your life people who have hurts similar to yours. I heard a testimony from a 30-year-old woman who came from a very difficult background. Nobody knew what had been going on in her family throughout her childhood. She was on a missions trip when she was in her late teens, and she met a young girl who was involved in some very self-destructive behavior. As she tried to talk with the girl about God and the fact that God loved her, the girl said, "I can't believe that there is a God who loves me." She asked why. The young girl said, "My father molested me. How could God let something like that happen?" This older teen said, "I'm going to tell you something I've never told anybody before. I've had to deal with the same problem. My father had sex with me." This young woman said that as she talked with that girl for the first time in her life, she began to understand that God had allowed her to go through something unspeakably horrible so that she would be able to share the gospel with others. She said, "What I never could have imagined in my pain is that God would open the door for me to share with many, many other teenage girls and young women who are suffering with the scars of sexual abuse. I would never have been able to share the gospel in the way that I have if it weren't for the fact that I've been through what they've been through. I understand their pain. I can talk with them in a way that they can hear and receive the healing power of the gospel, of God's grace and love for them. God isn't the author of sin. He doesn't cause people to do bad things. But God is so infinitely wise, powerful, and gracious that He can take the most horrible things that have ever happened and bring good out of them. When we celebrate Good Friday, we're celebrating the worst thing that has ever happened on our planet. The most hideously evil event occurred when the sinless Son of God was nailed to a cross. The only one who had lived a perfect life was unjustly treated and killed. Yet He said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Because He suffered and died, salvation is offered to us. This is the one we worship. He didn't just come and talk to us about suffering. He came alongside us and did what needed to be done. He provided His life. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are remembering that because of His brokenness, we can be made whole. Because His blood was poured out, our sins are washed away. God is always in the process of taking whatever we do and whatever is done to us and turning it for our good. When we believe what God says, it changes everything for us. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." If you are experiencing pruning, it is so that you might bless others. It's so that you might bear more fruit. It's not a sign that God is finished with you. It's not an indication that God is displeased with you. It's a reminder that God isn't finished with us. So the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' With that same spirit of faith, we also believed and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's your decision whether or not you will focus your attention on things that are eternal. You are not in danger of becoming so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. In fact, it is the person whose mindset is focused on eternity who is able to live strategically in this present life. If we really believe that heaven is our home, then we begin to gain an understanding of our mission here on earth. The result is a life invested in others. Cities and civilizations crumble. People will live for eternity. Therefore, we must invest in people in ways that will impact their eternal destiny. Folks, let me take just a moment to encourage you to go on the internet and visit the website of Ware's Valley Ranch. It's a very easy address, just wvr.org. For over 20 years, the ranch has provided a loving home environment for children who have a problem that they did not create. It may be a health crisis on the part of a parent or even the death of a parent. Often it's the death of a marriage, leaving a single parent who's struggling to care for the children while working one or more jobs in order to provide for their support. Sometimes it's a parent who struggles with alcohol or drug addiction, or even a case where one or both parents are in prison. But these children are not the problem. They're not delinquents. They're simply caught in a difficult circumstance. I hope you'll help us provide these little ones with the opportunity for hope and healing in a Christ-centered environment. Please visit wvr.org in order to learn more. And in order to help. That's wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus.
Folks, in this next section, I want to talk with us about climate control. If we're going to make a difference in the lives of others, we need to start at home. There are times when the problems of this world seem overwhelming. There are times when we're tempted to think that there is no way for us to make a difference. In reality, God has not given us responsibility for running this planet, much less the universe. He does hold us accountable, however, for how we govern those areas we can control. You are only responsible for the stewardship that God gives you. How much impact you can have in your home depends upon your position in the home. Parent, child, husband, or wife. It also depends on the cooperation of the other members of the household. If your mate is uncooperative, don't despair. Don't get all stressed out if the atmosphere in your home is not what you believe it should be. But if you are not doing what God commands, don't blame it on your family. Just as you can't control them, they don't control you. You will be held responsible for your attitudes and actions. Simply do what God allows and leave the rest to Him. Earlier in this book, I spoke of the importance of building on a solid foundation. I want to continue that metaphor because it's scriptural and because the parallels are obvious. Realize that the decisions you make have consequences. Every day you experience the results of past decisions. Each day offers the opportunity to build a better tomorrow. God's desire is that your life would bear testimony to His grace. He wants you not only to survive the storms, but also to have a life that provides safety and stability to others. You can only experience this kind of life as you obey God's direction. You will find more often than not that following Jesus means behaving differently than the world around you. Your home should be a lighthouse in the darkness. Many of us who grew up in Christian homes are all too familiar with the temptation to focus on appearances without really dealing with what's going on inside. Like the Pharisees, we make sure the outside of the dish is clean, but inside, there's a mess. God wants you to yield your life and your home to Him. He wants His character to be reflected in your relationships. He wants His presence to set the atmosphere in your home. Climate control is essential, but it's also costly. We cannot allow conditions outside our home to determine the atmosphere inside. It's not enough to have insulation. We've got to have a way to regulate the atmosphere inside. It takes energy to regulate the atmosphere. Let's apply the metaphor. There are going to be all kinds of pressures vying for our attention at home, at church, at work, at school, issues in the media, culture wars, people denying the truth. It thrills me when I hear of someone who is responsibly establishing and enforcing God-given priorities. When I hear a man or woman say they've changed jobs because their job was negatively affecting their family life, I thank God that there are still people who are determined not to let the world squeeze them into its mold. When they are being pressured to compromise, they call upon the Holy Spirit's power and break free. They are saying that their family is more important than their job, and they are willing to make whatever changes are necessary to make their priorities clear. I'm not going to let my work destroy my relationships at home. I know a precious couple who were going through a terrible time with one of their adult children. One of the parents said to me, "I look back on their childhood and think, what in the world did we do wrong?" Because I knew how badly this parent was hurting, I didn't suggest any answers. But I couldn't help but flash back to a brief conversation I had with this child many years before. I asked the child, "How are you doing?" The teen responded sullenly, "I guess I'm okay." So where are your parents? I never know anymore. These parents had, I'm sure, told the teen where they would be. They were busy trying to do what needed to be done in order to maintain a beautiful home in a great neighborhood. They had to pay for private school and all the other activities that were so important to that child, they thought. That child would have traded all those things for more time with mom and dad. Are you willing to pay the costly price of climate control? Are you going to take the time to determine the climate in your home? Have you decided to make the continued effort to clean out the worldly influences creeping into your home every day? You're responsible for paying the high price in order to control the climate in your home. You decide how people will talk in your home. If you don't want your kids to use foul language in your home, don't let the television, radio, or stereo bring a bunch of foul language in. We no longer have television because of my tendency to let it become an addiction. Back when we had TV, our teenage sons noticed that all the bad scenes and bad language during the shows they were watching occurred right as their parents walked into the room. The boys thought of it as an uncanny event, but we knew it was likely that they were simply more sensitized to what was on the screen when we were in the room. And we were not reluctant to turn the television off. Now that our boys are not at home, we're less sensitized to what we're watching, and this is a problem that must be dealt with as well. We find it much easier to use the off switch when our boys are around, so we've decided one solution to this problem is not to use the on switch. We can predict quite accurately what we'll be watching if we decide to turn the TV on, and it doesn't often fit with whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Remember, if you have children and teens, they need their parents to be with them. We have used the words appropriate and inappropriate a lot with our boys. And they knew we weren't going to have inappropriate stuff in our home. There were times when our boys didn't appreciate this, but they are appreciating it more and more now. We are extremely pleased that our boys and their friends enjoyed hanging out at our house throughout their adolescence. In fact, many of their friends routinely drove several hours to spend their free time and holidays with us. Children learn to love parental climate control, but you must do what it takes to control the climate. You have this authority, and God has given you this responsibility. Dads, in particular, have authority in this regard. Dad should not leave it up to mom to determine the parameters for the children. Dad needs to take his responsibility seriously. And mom needs to encourage her husband's leadership, supporting him 100%. Don't undermine each other's authority with the kids. Your children will appreciate the emotional security of parents who are united in their authority. Children want to know where the boundaries are. The more unified you are as parents, the more secure the boundaries, and the more secure your children will be all their lives. Climate control involves many aspects of family life. It is vital to a healthy marriage. For instance, your bedroom should not be an office. Things more important than work are supposed to be happening in your bedroom. The climate in your bedroom should be one of romance, privacy, intimacy, and celebration. Read Song of Solomon. Children can ruin the climate control in your bedroom. This is why you need to control their access to the bedroom. It's okay to nurse the infant in your room, but then they need to go back to their own room. Cultivate a protected atmosphere of intimacy and romance. Don't blame the world out there for what's going on in your home. You are responsible. Society is really rotten. But do you know why? It's because the salt has lost its savor. It's not the pagans' fault that our country has become so decadent. Church-going, professing Christians have conformed to the world in conduct and expectations. Instead of being salty salt and shining lights, we've just tried to fit in. We don't want to seem weird. And then we wonder, why are our homes falling apart? Climate control is costly, but it is essential. You are responsible. It takes energy to control the climate. If you don't use climate control, houses and households quickly deteriorate. Houses will be reclaimed by nature, and families will be reclaimed by the world, unless energy is expended for climate control. Remember, you belong to the Lord. Your home belongs to the Lord. You will give an account for the manner in which you invest your time and energy in building and maintaining a home that reflects God's glory. Well, folks, that's the conclusion of that chapter on climate control. But let me clarify something. Since this book was written, not only do we sometimes watch television again, but we adopted 4 more kids. So when I refer in that chapter to my boys, and now that they're adults, a lot's happened since 2000. I hope that you'll read our other books, like Adopted, for example, that shares some of the things God's taught us in the years since we wrote Weathering the Storms. God has a plan for each and every one of us, but certain biblical principles hold true no matter who you are, no matter what your circumstances may be. I hope that beyond the various anecdotes that I tell, you're able to zero in on the biblical content and recognize that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is it okay to have a Christian home where we watch television together? Yes. Do you need to be careful that it doesn't become an addiction? Yes. Do some of you need to get rid of your televisions altogether? Yes. But I'll tell you this. The important thing is that in every situation, your attitude is one of saying, Lord, I am yours and all I have is yours. You show me what you want me to do, and I'm glad to do it. If you'll take that approach, I can promise you on the authority of God's word that God will show you what he wants you to do. He'll direct your steps. He said he would. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's God's promise. From Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You can depend on it. God keeps his promises. So, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to grow stronger in the storms. You're supposed to bless others in the storms. But it starts at home. And you need to make the expense, to make the sacrifice, in order to control the climate to the extent you can within your home.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at wvr.org. That's wvr.org.